the Connect Kindness podcast, where we connect people with organizations to inspire kindness. I'm your host, Crystal Aziz, and I'm joined by my co-host, Tim Evans. Thank you so much for joining us on the Connect Kindness podcast. In today's episode, we interview Rania Mancarios, the CEO of Crime Stoppers of Houston. Their mission is to prevent serious crimes in the greater Houston area in partnerships with citizens, media, and the criminal justice system.
We had a great conversation with Rania, and she goes into the history of Crime Stoppers and how they came to be over 40 years ago. She also talks about how she got involved with the organization and also the long-term vision of Crime Stoppers Houston. It was a pleasure spending some time with Rania and getting to know her as well as more about Crime Stoppers Houston. So without further ado, this is Rania Mancarios of Crime Stoppers Houston.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Connect Kindness podcast. Can you share with our listeners what is Crime Stoppers and what needs do you guys serve?
Well, it's a great question because I'll tell you, when I took over Crime Stoppers in 2013, Rice University was actually studying the program and they found something really fascinating. They said, you know, we surveyed hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people and we asked them all the same questions. One, were you born and raised in Houston? And it was such a mix, you know, 50% yes, 50% no. Houston's such a transient city. Second question was, have you heard of Crime Stoppers? They got 100% yes. One, so man, it didn't matter if you were born here, didn't matter if you were, you know, living here for a short period of time. 100% of the people they surveyed knew, they had heard of Crime Stoppers. Then they asked the third question, do you know what they do beyond the tip line? And only 2% knew what we did. So I love when people ask us what sort of who we are and what needs we serve. We are turning 40 this year, a 40-year-old Houston-based nonprofit organization. Our mission is to solve and prevent crime in partnership with citizens, media, and the criminal justice system. And for the longest time, people have known about us because we have this very, 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 very famous tip line. It's on the news every night. You see it on social media. We work to find information, to work with tipsters in the community. I call them heroes that can send us information anonymously. We never know who they are from the moment they call, text, put an online tip, use our social media, our app. We never know who they are. But when they give us that information, we can work with law enforcement to solve crimes and then they get a cash reward. Again, us never knowing who they are. And it's a really interesting process. But beyond that, we do a ton of work on prevention. So again, our mission is to solve and prevent crime. And that prevention piece is through critical education. We are boots on the ground in the schools. We've been in the schools since 1997. We're in communities talking about everything from domestic violence, elder abuse, human trafficking, animal cruelty, home invasions, retail safe shopping, identity theft, bank robberies, protecting a smart home. I mean, we cover it all. This last year, we've spent a lot of time talking about COVID scams and what all of that looks like, but we are providing services to every single person. If you live in Houston, if your home is here, if your business is here, if you send your kids to school here, if you plan to retire here, our work directly serves you.
That's fantastic. We're both from, well, I'm from Houston.
From New York.
She's from New York. I definitely remember growing up and hearing about Crime Stoppers. And I would love if you could share a little bit of the history of Crime Stoppers and how it came to be.
Yeah, well, a peace officer was dealing with a horrific murder in Albuquerque, New Mexico in the late 70s and knew someone in the community had to know something. So he created the concept of opening the door for people to report information anonymously and then incentivizing them by offering a cash reward. And one of the big things he said is, you know, well, I'm never going to know who you are. I don't care about immigration status. I don't care about it. We just need information to help solve this case. And sure enough, the case was solved within the next day or two because the tipster came forward and shared information anonymously. Well, in the early 80s, crime in Houston was spiking. And so the Exchange Club of Houston Downtown, which is a group of businessmen, decided to bring the model to Houston. And it was run by civilians, wholly run by civilians, partnered with HPD as our host agency. So when you call Crime Stoppers, you call that anonymous tip line, you're not dealing with a civilian. You're dealing with a seasoned investigator that can look up the case, that knows what questions to ask, has bits and pieces of information that the public doesn't have and can really, really measure the quality of the content, the tips coming in, and then can funnel those tips, push those tips to the exact investigator that's working the case. And that's how we solve so many of these major crimes in Houston. We deal with felony crimes primarily. And so the program really took off, and Dave Ward was a young reporter at the time, and he gave a lot of reach to the organization. The media partnership grew from, you know, Dave Ward and ABC 13 to all the other local networks. And soon we were, you know, one of the strongest tip lines. Now Crime Stoppers was sort of bubbling up in all major cities across America. Today there are 1,700 Crime Stoppers in 32 countries. Crime Stoppers of Houston is the largest and most successful. We're the only one with a headquarters on nearly 30,000 square foot facility located in the heart of Midtown. We have that incredible tip line, as you know, but we also have a Safe School Institute, a Safe Community Program, Victim Services, a League of Women for Public Safety. There's just so much our group is doing, and we're really, really proud of the work of the organization.
And Rania, you are now part of, you know, the largest and most successful Crime Stoppers that they have across the nation. And, you know, we need to commend you on your success. But how did you actually get involved with Crime Stoppers?
Well, it's a little bit of an odd story. I am a Boston native, born and raised, and got married, and I had a master's degree in marriage and family therapy and a law degree, and knew I did those two very specifically because I knew I wanted to give back to the community and to understand people. You have to understand their story, and a lot of people's stories relate back to their family structure. Whatever that family structure looks like, is defined by, it doesn't matter, but it just kind of goes to the heart of who people are. And I loved law. I loved the idea of justice. And I figured those two types of education were important for me. In Boston, I had a pretty, you know, defined path. But when I moved to Houston, I had to start all over. I didn't know what I was going to do. A lot of people said, well, just go apply, you know, to some law firms and see how that goes. And I did. And I got called a damn Yankee once or twice, and, you know, almost, you know, I had people that say, look, you're great. You graduate top, you're president of your class, you graduate top of your class, but at the end of the day, you're still just a damn Yankee. And I remember time somebody said that to me, I paused, and I said, all right, I want to be polite here, but this guy thinks that people from Boston like the Yankees, and we like the Red Sox. I need to tell him. And so I started to say, sir, I have to thank you so much, but just so you know, you know, in Boston, we like the Red Sox. And he looked at me, and I looked at him, and I said, oh, wait a minute. You're calling me a Yankee, like a Northerner.
Yeah.
And I cried, and I called my husband. I said, I don't belong here. I don't get this. But sure enough, a friend of mine in New York said, Rania, you need to look at the nonprofit sector. You're in one of the greatest cities in this country for nonprofit, and that's probably where your heart is. And so I said, okay, I'll do that. I looked. University of Houston Law Center had this position for an organization, Crime Stoppers of Houston. I'd never heard of it. They were looking for a lawyer with media and marketing experience, which I had based on my work in Boston. And I looked at the website. It was horrific. It was like a moon with a bat flying past the moon and, you know, a guy wearing, you know, covered, and he had like a flashlight on it. I mean, it was the worst. But I said, I'll go interview because let me just start the process. And as I sat there, Catherine Cavanaugh was the executive director at the time, and I really, really liked her a lot. And she starts to talk about the work of Crime Stoppers, and I start to fall in love with the mission. I literally fell in love with everything about the organization. And I said, Catherine, I'd love, you know, not only to work with you, but I'd love to work here. And she said, Rania, I mean, you're an attorney. You owned a company back in Boston. You have a master's degree. Better. She said, I'm sorry, we're looking for an intern, $10 an hour, 20 hours a week. It's just not a fit. And I said, Catherine, if you'll have me, I'll take it. And I'd be thrilled to do so. Mm-hmm. And she said, okay, we'd love to have you. And I remember leaving the building at the time. It was an old Wells Fargo Bank. Crime Stoppers operated in like the back closet area of the second floor. And I called my husband on the way home, and I said, well, I did my interview and I got offered a position and I took it. He said, oh, my, congratulations. Okay, so what are you, in-house counsel? Are you in-house counsel? What are you? Tell me what happened. And I said, I took an internship at Taylor's now, but I love you so much. Remember, I gave up my whole life for you. Goodbye. And I got home and he was like, wait, what did you do? And I said, well, it's a nonprofit and it's an internship. And I took it and I'm thrilled. And he said, you know, he of course knows me so well. He said, it sounds like it's everything you've been looking for. And he was happy for me and I've never left. And that was in 2006.
Wow.
That is a beautiful story. Thank you so much for sharing that. I love it. I wanted to talk a little about the process of Crime Stoppers. If somebody witnesses a crime, what do they do? What's the process of them getting in touch with you? And then what happens after you receive the tip?
So if they're witnessing a crime in action, we actually tell people call 911. Whenever it's live happening, do not call 911. Now, if a crime has already occurred and now we're working with law enforcement and the media to fill the gaps and to find information, you call us anonymously at 713-222-TIPS. You can go on our website, Crime Stoppers of Houston. You can go download our mobile app and you can report through the mobile app. And what happens is you start the process. We never know who you are. You are a code number. Everything, our lines don't have caller ID. Actually, when we built our building to build the call center, which was on the third floor, required us to put different even cords, cables running to that floor because the lines are secured. It is anonymous. It's protected by state statute. And basically what you do is you'll be connected to one of our investigators. You share information with them. They will know what to ask you. And then they tell you, we need you to call us back because we can't reach you. Call us back based on the type of crime and what type of information. They'll tell you to call back in like a day or 2 days or 3 days while they vet it. And you call back, and if your information led to the identification or the arrest of a suspect, you will be entitled to a cash reward. At that point, we work with a bank in Houston. We do payday once a month, and it's a really intricate system of going through the teller and going through the teller with the series of code words and code numbers and getting your cash through the teller.
That's very interesting, Rania. Can you go into a little detail about who pays the money and how that process works?
Yeah, actually, when the program was created and immediately there was just so much value, people saw the value right away in terms of how quickly cases can be solved, the safety to law enforcement, the savings to taxpayer dollars because police are not spending so much time doing investigations, they're getting actually really good information quickly. Our elected officials worked with our judges, worked with law enforcement to create a system where people placed on probation in different cities across America. So in Harris County, if you're placed on probation, the judge can order you to pay a fee to Crime Stoppers. And that fee is usually $20, $25. But that money that comes into our organization is literally restricted to rewards. So it ensures that the system continues and, in a sense, criminals pay to take other criminals off the street. Now, in the last few years, unfortunately, judges, defense attorneys waive that or are negotiated away or judges don't enforce it. And we are now, for the first time in 40 years, having to map out a plan to raise funds for rewards. So I'm in the middle of figuring out how to do that. It will be the first time the organization's ever had to do that, so it will be a unique challenge that we face in the coming year.
And if anyone listening has an idea on how she can do that, please don't hesitate to reach out to them and suggest it. I know there's a lot of people that are involved with different nonprofits and know about fundraising, so we use this platform to help everyone. And how many cases would you guys say that you guys have solved, through these tips?
So we are a data-driven organization. We keep, we're constantly looking at our numbers, counting numbers, tracking numbers, because, again, we work with law enforcement. We work with the DA. We report our numbers to the state of Texas, and we report our numbers to the community. So, we've counted over 36,000 felony cases that Tips to Crime Stoppers have solved. But an interesting story, when we built the first ever Crime Stoppers headquarters, again, anywhere in the world, in Midtown, we invited Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick to speak. It was the Dave Ward building. Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick is very fond of Dave Ward, so we thought that would be nice to invite him. And so he came, and he pulled, he got out of his car. Everybody's there. We're waiting to start. And he pulled me aside. He said, Rania, I need to talk to you about these numbers. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, what's happening? You know, the cameras are set up. We have media. You know, again, all these people. And he said, well, I noticed that you said, you know, these numbers reported at the time was like 27,000, you know, felony cases, or 30,000. I said, you know, Lieutenant Governor, you know, you guys know that we do count these in every case as a case number. He said, no. He said, Rania, I know that. He said, but what I also know is that when you guys solve one case, there are probably 5, 6, 7, 8 other cases that are solved. And I noticed you guys don't keep track of that. I said, well, that would require a whole other team. You know, we can't. There's just, it's too much. We're a small team. And he said, well, I want you to know, as far as the state's concerned, we think you guys have solved closer to 200,000 cases for the state of Texas. And we're really proud of the work you've done. And, you know, ever since he said that, I've gone back and looked. You know, Ava Castillo is a case that's always pulled at my heart. That four-year-old's precious little face, she's just the most adorable girl. And her mom was robbed just unloading groceries from her car in Harris County. And the suspects that robbed the mom shot Ava in the face. And shot the other sister. The mom and the other sister survived, but Ava died. And a tip to Crime Stoppers solved that case, and we counted it as a case. But when I went back and looked at it, sure enough, it was, you know, three teams that were involved in the robbery and 10 other cases cleared, another capital murder in addition to Ava's case. So, you know, yes, we count them as one case.
Well, I'm glad you guys are doing what you're doing, because it is making, you know, Houston definitely a better place. And we live here and we love the city. So thank you for all that work. Naturally, you know, I would think that people are kind of hesitant about sharing information, right? So how do you guys overcome that, or what community events do you do to kind of raise awareness that, hey, this is a good thing? You know, speaking up is a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you, we nipped that in the bud immediately by repeatedly saying that we're anonymous. And anonymous doesn't mean, like, you know, we have your information, but we keep it safe, or, you know, we redact it if something is to be asked. No, anonymous means we literally have never known who you are. And the tipster, when they call, is speaking to investigators that are trained through Crime Stoppers. So they're so in touch with our program and what the state requires and the state statute, that when a tipster's calling, the investigator doesn't even say, you know, he said he saw the suspect, you know, it's tipster said tipster saw it. So we don't even reveal gender of the caller, never how they came to know, the fact that the investigator would need to solve the case or further the investigation or identify the suspect. Not only that, so not only are the tipsters truly anonymous, and we've been doing this for 40 years, so that's just a well-known fact. In the legal system, if a lawyer says, well, we want to subpoena your records, they can't. We're protected by state statute. So we file a motion to quash, and the judge lets, you know, our records stay with us. Now, let's say a judge said, no, we still want your records. It would only say tipster ABCD stated that tipster ABCD saw Bill at the scene of the crime. You know, there's nothing in it that could even identify the tipster. That said, we've never been compelled. No crimes. I think one Crime Stoppers organization in Florida was compelled to share the information, and the executive director, I mean, it's ridiculous. He made news for eating a piece of paper. I mean, that's ridiculous. He literally cut the tip and put it in his mouth and swallowed it. And that is the most absurd, ridiculous thing we've ever seen. But it goes to show, I mean, I'm not going to eat a tip, by the way, ever. But, you know, our law enforcement and our judicial system and the way the statute's written, we're not going to be driven to have to eat a tip or to do anything else. The information's secure. Tipsters are anonymous. And every single thing we do is to protect
guys have been doing this for 40 years, and I'm sure that, you know, you've honed the process and to where you guys work really, really well. What do you see the long-term vision? Where do you go from here?
Well, I've always said that the model itself is the vision for the future. And we've been in a tough place because historically people don't connect with Crime Stoppers. One, marketing was never a goal for organizations like ours. It took a lot for us to remarket. I always say it was like remarketing McDonald's, you know, trying to introduce salads in a McDonald's menu, you know, to tell people that Crime Stoppers is here for you and connects with you. It was really hard after, 30 years of it being driven for the tipster to report information on crime when the average citizen is not a tipster and has nothing to do with crime, you know. So it was really hard. So we spent a long time softening the message, making it about all of us, because public safety does affect all of us. And certainly crime in Houston has changed such that now people who may have thought, oh gosh, we live in a part of town where crime doesn't affect, oh, my kids go to private school, oh, I live in a gated community, blah, blah. Now they're realizing, look, it doesn't matter where you live. It doesn't matter where your kids go to school. It doesn't matter what part of town. It doesn't matter what your family structure looks like. Crime is everywhere. Family violence is everywhere. Kids are targeted everywhere through social media. None of that matters. So more and more people are coming to us for public safety information. But I'll tell you this year specifically, there's so much this year, from bail reform to COVID scams to kids living their lives online and parents now really being concerned with social media and cyber safety, to the horrific killing of George Floyd and the narrative that, you know, the discussion that followed about community-driven public safety, the community members' role in public safety, the community's relationship with law enforcement. Now, all of a sudden, you know, people that kind of overlooked us for 35 years are now calling us, hey, what do you guys think? Hey, what's your opinion? Hey, wait a minute. You guys have been doing this for a long time, you know? So now more than ever, I see us, the model, as being at the forefront. And I hate the events that have gotten us here, but I'm really proud that we're ready and engaged. We're involved in the mayor's task force on police reform. And, we've been involved at the heart of many conversations with this issue in Houston, but now also nationally. Houston is, I think Houstonians should be very proud with, you know, Mayor Turner, Chief Art Acevedo, and the way they've handled these difficult times, Sheriff Ed Gonzalez, you know, all of our elected officials, Commissioner, County Judge Lena Hidalgo. But I also think Houstonians should be really proud of Crime Stoppers and the fact that we've been here doing this for a very long time. And now you can turn to us as not just like, hey, this new thing that's just kind of bubbled up in response to these tragedies, but a tried and true organization that's been here for 40 years doing such great work and is only going to continue to do more.
That's great that you're moving with the times and moving with the changes. You're relevant, you're efficient, and you know how you can help, you know, especially with everything going on in the world. So incredible job. I know you've been doing this for 40 years and you've been with the organization for quite a while. Can you share with us a success story that, you know, sticks out in your mind that people would enjoy?
I'll share, you know, the successes of a program that really mean a lot to me. I am a mom of three, and I always say it doesn't matter if you're a mom or not, a parent or not. The fact that kids go to school now and, you know, had to worry about school shootings was something that always just, I couldn't bear it. I always share the story of my youngest daughter when she was 4 years old, came home one day and said, hey, mommy, you know, today we learned about, you know, drop down and go low. And I said to her, she was like crazy red hair, so we call her Red. I said, Red, do you mean stop, drop, and roll? And she's, you know, four at the time, and I'm thinking she doesn't, you know. And she said, no, mommy, we learned about drop down and go low. And I said, Red, what do you mean? When do you drop down and go low? And I remember my little four-year-old with her crazy red hair, and at the time she was at a private school, a private preschool, and she proceeded to get on her elbows and knees and do an army crawl. And so I said, okay. I said, Red, when do you drop down and go low? And she said, well, mommy, if a bad man enters a school and the teacher flips the screen from green to red or or red to green, I don't remember, we know to drop down and go low. And I said, okay. My four-year-old, who's in a private school, not that that matters, is being trained for active shooter. And I've shared that story with people, and they've said, my gosh, were you furious? Did you pull her out of the school? I mean, that's horrific. And I said, no, I did not. I am furious that my girls have to be raised in a community, in a society, in a world where they have to be trained to protect their lives should mm-hmm. a shooter enter a school. That's what kills me. And so I talk a lot about our Safe School program, which has grown into the Safe School Institute, which is the leading public safety nonprofit now in the state of Texas. And the fact that we've been boots on the ground since 1997, we've reached 1.3 million children, kindergarten to 12th grade at this point. But here is the greatest success to me, that we have to date removed almost 300 weapons, guns, knives, and other variations of weapons, brought on school campuses in our area because we've been talking to these kids and we've been able to remove them before they've been used against any student. And to me, whether we saved one life, 100 lives, it doesn't matter. That to me is, you know, in my mind, our greatest contributions to Houston. Sure, we've solved thousands and thousands and thousands of felony cases, and we've brought justice to thousands and thousands of families. And I'm very proud of that. We've prevented crimes through all of our community education. I'm so proud of that. We've been a leader nationally, and I'm very proud of that. We built the first ever Crime Stoppers headquarters anywhere in the world. I'm so proud of that. But I have a sort of a special place in my heart, knowing that, you know, we're not going to have a, you know, Sandy Hook Elementary School here. We're not going to have a Columbine High School, a Parkland. We haven't, and that's because of the critical work of Crime Stoppers of Houston. Of course, that's only applies to schools that have let us in, but we continue to expand, and we're in hundreds of schools now across the city and county with a growing list, and we're proud of that.
Arity, thank you so much for what you're doing for our community. I have two sons, and what you're doing is so important. And for listeners who want to get involved with Crime Stoppers, how can they get in touch with you?
Yeah, you know, we really, the greatest thing we can ask for people is to follow us on social media, Crime Stoppers of Houston. Follow me on social media. I am at the Runya Report, only because my last name is too long. And the reason I do that is because we give out information. And so we need an army of people to not just see the information, but to share the information. Working together, we can proactively keep each other safe. We can prevent victimization through education. And I am a firm believer in that. So we, you know, hopefully we'll get back to normal at some point and have events and invite people to attend our events. Everything we do is free. And for now, we do all of them virtually. So we want people to be following us as we share them, to join us, to attend the movie screenings we do, the panel discussions we do, the many trainings we do. Please, you know, just be with us, share the information. That's the greatest way to get involved with Crime Stoppers. And then at the end of the day, we are a nonprofit. So donations certainly help. But if I had to choose, I would say follow us and share. That's the most important thing to us at this point. Donations will come, and we continue to work for that. But we really ask everybody to follow us and share the content.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you, Rania, so much for taking the time to speak with us and share the passion and the success of your organization and how you guys are making a difference in today's world. And we really do appreciate it from the bottom of our hearts. And keep up all the amazing work. You know, I'm excited to see where the organization goes and how much more you guys are going to impact Houston. So thank you again.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to the Connect Kindness podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at ShareGiveDo. And please remember, the world is changed by your example, not by your opinion.